I'm Mike Luckman, your host. This is Radio Doomsday Live. I'm Mike Luckman, your host, and tonight we're going to be talking about an amazing discovery, potentially, photograph that just come out, taken by an airline passenger in Melbourne, Australia, of ostensibly Planet X. Planet X, the planet discovered by the U.S. Naval Observatory all the way back in the 80s. I'm getting some echo on this. I'll just keep talking. Planet X, which is, of course, a legendary planet that is supposed to have the Anunnaki, the beings who came down here and took pre-humans, mixing with their DNA with ours, and thereby created what is now the human race, full-fledged. So we'll be talking about Planet X, and as I say, a photograph that has been released within just a matter of the last days, a picture taken over Melbourne, Australia by an airline passenger that purports to show Planet X, but not just Planet X, the whole Planet X system, that is several bodies, heavenly bodies, are depicted in this amazing photograph that's online. I would suggest that you might want to go and take a look at that picture because it's potentially the most important picture in our lifetime. It may be indeed the legendary and very elusive Planet X that could spell doom for a significant portion of the human race. Zechariah Sitchin, who popularized Planet X, and he's the author of about 12 books. He lived in New York City. My upcoming guest, Antonio Junius, knew him quite well and had introduced Shirley MacLaine, as a matter of fact, to him. This Planet X picture is really interesting. We'll be talking about it in a moment. I also want to mention another discovery that's just been unearthed. And the timing of this is impeccable, six ancient crystal skulls that have been found in a cave in Mexico. And I now have somebody, a colleague in Mexico, examining those skulls and should be able to have a report for you next week on the show. Radio Doomsday Live, incidentally, is carried at 12 midnight by BBS Radio on station number 2. And it goes from 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern time. You will not find another program like this on radio. We call it exactly the way it is and let the chips fall where they may. Unfortunately, the chips have been falling all over the place, not on us, but on humanity in general. I would like to just say a word or two about Antonio by way of introduction. Antonio is a close friend and colleague who now is the editor of Open Minds magazine, which comes out of Phoenix, and which is a really first-rate magazine. There's never been a first-rate UFO magazine, to my knowledge, for as long as I've been on this planet. And along comes Open Minds magazine, and it's really very well done. It's well designed. It's a great editorial package. And Antonio Junius is a Chilean-born journalist and has played a significant role in uncovering a lot of important information. The current issue, incidentally, of Open Minds magazine has a cover story about ancient astronauts, and of course we'll be getting into that a little in tonight's program. I'd like to welcome you to the show, Radio Doomsday Live, Antonio.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks very much for that great introduction. Yeah, and you know, when talking of the Anunnaki, this is a kind of a joke, but I think we've known each other probably as long ago as when the Anunnaki were still walking on
Earth. Probably. Yeah, I mean, Antonio worked with me, by the way, on my book, Alien Rock, The Rock and Roll Extraterrestrial Connection, which was published about 4 or 5 years ago now by Simon and Schuster. And that book deals with, famous rock stars and their extraordinary connection to UFOs and their alien occupants. And I also want to state that Antonio played really a pivotal role in the Lawrence Rockefeller Initiative. That initiative was undertaken by one of the world's wealthiest men, was a New York City-based philanthropist and the oldest of the four Rockefeller brothers. And he financed, he believed in UFOs, and financed a special study, which at one point originally was a secret undertaking, and actually arranged for not only report to be issued, which Antonio was one of the editors of, but also for this report, which was distributed to 1,000 movers and shakers on the world stage, to be followed up by an attempt with the White House, with Bill Clinton, to uncover the truth about the Roswell UFO crash. And he had people, he was working with a whole lineup of individuals who Rockefeller was, who were former military intelligence people and people who had worked in the Pentagon in various capacities in the 1960s and 70s. And there were these, you know, secret meetings that took place and an attempt to get to the bottom of Roswell. Unfortunately, Clinton told Rockefeller that that it was like quicksand, political quicksand, for him to get involved with it. And Hillary asked Rockefeller not to even bring up the subject again to Bill Clinton, even though she was supposed to be, in Rockefeller's mind, the point woman to introduce this subject to Bill Clinton. Anyway, Antonio knows all about these things. He was there as it was unfolding. And I'm wondering, Antonio, what your take is on all of this now. Because basically, well, they've had a free... They've walked free. I mean, the Clintons have managed to escape much criticism about their role in the UFO cover-up in Roswell.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But what's interesting is because you mentioned that the report was secret. I mean, it wasn't secret in official terms. You know, I mean, we were not a government project with official secrecy. But certainly, while it was being prepared, it was pretty confidential, and it was very hard to get. And then only 1,000 copies were published of the original report. Had a very elegant blue cover, the UFO briefing document. And I was, as you said, one of the co-authors with Don Berliner and also Mary right. Galbraith, who was the lady who was close to Rockefeller. She right. was the wife of a former ambassador of the United States to France during Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, so this is a pretty high-level
stuff. These people, they were not your run-of-the-mill ufologists, you know.
Yeah.
But we put now, first of all, I also wrote a very extensive article explaining in detail, in depth, in our magazine, in the Open Minds magazine. This
right.
was a few months ago, but, you know, people can still buy the back issues.
You will not find later UFOs. You got to get Open Minds magazine. You will not find a better magazine. I'm not being paid to say.
Oh yeah, no, that's true. I mean, as you know, Mike, I worked for dozens, and I mean, as a freelancer,
right.
you know, I wrote for dozens and dozens of UFO magazines all over the world, and I was, you know, with columnists with Fate for many years and so on, and I never. They don't even come close to the quality, both editorially and visually, of our
okay.
magazine, you know.
Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to mention is that anybody listening to this program can actually go to our website.
Antonio, I'd like to talk a little about Shirley MacLaine and that meeting that took place between Shirley and Zechariah Sitchin.
Yeah, let me just finish because this ties in with the Rockefeller thing. So we put, after many years, even though the briefing document later came up as a paperback by Dell
right.
in the year 2000, but finally we put it on our website. It's in the
right.
openminds.tv website, and if you do a search there for UFO briefing document, you can
right.
download a PDF copy of the exact document. And
right,
this is
exactly.
the same, you know, that it even appears on the Clinton. It's on the Clinton archives, as you know, when they released a lot of the UFO, the Clinton Presidential Library. and our friend Van Cameron, you know, did obtain those documents, and yeah, there were many references, and there was
all right,
the
let's
title
get to the, Antonio, let's get to the teeth of this. The fact is that this formerly secret report, later published by a publishing regular publishing company, but at that time it was circulated, just to these high rollers, important individuals worldwide. What was the? Go ahead. Hello.
Yes. Yeah. What was the? What you said? The impact.
What was the impact of it? Looking back on
it. Well, I would say that a great deal of effort was put into the crafting of the document, you know, producing the document. That
right.
took months. We even had an office in Madison Avenue, for a while, and I was there working full time for a few months, but then for some inexplicable reason, as you well know, because you end up being the sort of the freelancer PR man for this project, they had no real campaign, which was awkward. They went into all this effort of producing the document. It was mailed to all these people.
Right.
They gave it to this coalition, as you know, of MUFON and CUFOS and the Fund for UFO Research.
Yeah, Antonio,
they were supposed to run with it.
Yeah, you're referring to some material that I leaked to concerning...
Right.
Rockefeller and the Clintons to the media.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
So
the
impact was not very large, but it did have a couple of significant effects, and neither of which were in the United States. One was mostly in France, because, of course, Marie Goldbreath was the ambassador, wife there, and she had lived many years in France. She knew the president down. In fact, Chirac did get a copy of the document, I believe, who was the president at the time. And many copies were sent to France to the official office at the French Space Agency, the Japan.
Yeah.
And then they were distributed. And this led eventually to the creation of their own similar report, which is known as the Cometa Report, and in which they acknowledge our report.
Okay, I want to go into the teeth of this report that you co-authored. As far as the content, there were formerly top secret documents from the military that were released as a result of only the Freedom of Information Act. They probably would not have gotten out in any other way. And it included incursions by UFOs in nuclear weapons storage areas at a string of Air Force bases. And also, I believe that there were documents, or at least one document, probably more than one, pertaining to commercial aircraft encountering UFOs. Now, these both, generally speaking, fall under the bailiwick of national security. Given that, what do you think? What is your take on the Clintons as far as their responsibility? Even today, Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, I mean, she's involved. I mean, she's part of the cover-up at this point, as is Bill Clinton, and as is Obama.
Well, yeah, of course, every government in the world, you know, they've been limited disclosure, as we know, you know, including the Freedom of Information Act documents, which we've had for years.
Right.
And I have to say that our document was actually rather conservative. You know, everything was based on real documents or totally legitimate scientific reports. You know, we didn't have like wild allegations and things like that. And then a great deal of effort was put into compiling also a list of statements by personalities, presidents, astronauts, generals, leading scientists. And this was a significant part of the report. And to this day, you see those quotes all over the internet. They came from our report. I mean, they came originally from whatever diverse sources, but eventually they were compiled into, because that went on like for 30 pages or something like that.
Talking to Antonio Hineas, who is the one of the editors of Open Minds magazine, the best UFO magazine out there, as far as I'm concerned, worldwide. And if you have any comments or any questions for either of us, I would appreciate it if you call our toll-free number. Please write it down, 888-429-5741. That's 888-429-5741 for Radio Doomsday Live. Before we go any further, I want to thank John Kane of the official December 21st, 2012 website. He's been very supportive of Radio Doomsday Live and some of my other activities. And this is the number one website for information about 2012. Now, you might ask yourself, if you're just tuning in, why all this UFO stuff? I mean, what does UFOs have to do with Doomsday or the state of the world or whatever? Well, it's got a whole lot to do with the state of the world. Now, some people believe that, well, what's the difference? I mean, until and unless they land and have interaction with us in an open manner, things go on as business as usual. Well, if you look at YouTube, of course, even if you set aside all the obvious hoaxes and the possible hoaxes, you're still left with a lot of extraordinary video. And it seems that the UFOs are getting much, much, much closer to us, perhaps as we, at the same time that we open up more to them.
I think you have to add also that the technology has changed so much. So people have now cameras. Everybody has a camera on their cell phone. So in the old days, maybe there was the same amount of UFOs, certainly like in the flap of 1952, you know, it was huge, but very few people had cameras. I mean, you had to have a loaded camera with you, you know, if you're, and some people did, and there were many UFO photos, very few films. Films were very rare
but
then.
Now we're going to, you know, now the thing that case that really strikes me, and some people may say, well, it's not real, but I am absolutely convinced it's real, is the UFO that came down by the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, a very interesting place for it to come down at this particular time. You know, there are all kinds of analogies between our everyday life here on Earth. Just 1 second. I just lost my train of thought. The UFO that came down on Temple Mount was photographed by three guys with cell phone cameras in different positions. So it was like a triangulated thing. There was also UFOs that the same UFO was photographed by the weather camera, which is a stationary camera that films every 10 seconds, and that caught the same images as well, which is essentially some kind of a ship or craft or light, however you want to view it, coming down toward the horizon. It's right adjacent to the Temple Mount, and it stops at the horizon. There's a quick flash of light, and it zips back up, and then there's an explosion of about maybe 10 or 12 or more little red UFOs, and then the whole thing just, you know, blinks out, and they're gone. The timing, though, on it is impeccable. You know, if you look at the Radio Doomsday Live, I've been referred to as 2012's Billy Graham. That's okay. I'll accept it. The fact is that 2012 and UFOs are inextricably linked. Now, as I was saying before, the official December 21st, 2012 website, I would highly recommend. John Kane. Does an enormous job in getting this information together, and he stays on top of it, like, immaculately. And this is the place to go if you want information. It's www.December 21, 2012, no dots or anything, www.December212012.com. Again, I want to give the toll-free number out. If you have any comments or questions, please be sure to call. Tell your friends about the show. We're on every Thursday night at 12 midnight. We hope to keep on expanding the show using social media and the major news media because as we get closer, obviously, to the December 21st date, there's going to be more and more public interest in this. Okay, I also wanted to say something about the Cosmic Majority. I founded this new organization for the purpose of basically saying to the world, hey, you know, like, moral majority be damned. Cosmic Majority is where it's at in 2012. And whether we live to 2012 and make it in 2013, hopefully in 2014 and 15, we're in for very, very perilous times. We're experiencing them right now. The radiation that's coming from Fukushima in Japan from the nuclear meltdown is horrendous. The government has totally been whitewashing it, covering it up, burning radioactive material. There's flotsam and jetsam coming down from the tsunami toward California that covers the surface of the ocean as large as California. Bluefin tuna has been detected to have what's called low doses of radiation. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not particularly anxious. I like tuna fish very much to eat low-dose tuna, bluefin tuna. So you know, the situation is very dire. I do not believe, and I want to make this very clear, as I have on every show, I do not believe that on December 21st, 2012, even though about 10% of the population worldwide, according to the Reuters news agency, do believe it, I do not believe that the world is going to come to an end in any fashion on December 21st, 2012. However, ladies and gentlemen, I do feel that there will be an unexpected spiritual or other psychological, mental type occurrence that will be on that particular day. But when it comes to all kinds of earth changes that are very significant, I don't think we have anything to worry on that date. But beyond that date, and even right now, I mean, we've never had, not even close, the kind of earthquake activity that we now have. So we need to deal with this in some way. Now, some people would rather, you know, just not be confronted with this information. They would rather not know about it, and they'd rather be blindsided, I guess. At least my feeling is that at least if you have the foreknowledge of what may be happening and what is indeed happening, birds falling from the sky, all kinds of fish and sea life coming ashore, drifting ashore, the problem with radiation, and on and on and on, the declining of bumblebee population. Bumblebees, of course, pollinate flowers. And if the bees go, as Einstein said, we all go. I think he said we'd have 4 years after the bees went. Well, the bees haven't gone yet, but they've definitely lost a significant amount of their population. Let's hope it doesn't happen to us. Antonio, tell me something about the current issue, which I'm dying to get a hold of Open Minds magazine. It has a cover story about the ancient astronauts.
Right. Well, it's actually much more than a cover story. It's a theme issue. You know, once in a while, we do, like any magazine, normally, I mean, we have a cover story, maybe sometimes even two articles, or perhaps even three articles on that subject. But sometimes, or occasionally, we did that with Roswell, and way back we did it with abductions. We have a complete theme issue. Practically, the entire issue is about that subject. You know, with a couple of exceptions of other articles. So anyway, this one is all about ancient astronauts, or as the Russians used to call it. I like that term because it's more scientific, paleo contact.
Right.
And right on the cover says aliens, ancient evidence. So of course you can get the information at openminds.tv. Or, you know, it's in bookstores, Barnes & Nobles, and other places. So anyway, I wrote two of the major pieces. We also have a gallery of pictures, but instead of being just normal UFO photos, now we had historical things. historical paintings and so on. As you know, you remember, Mike, that that's one of the things I, among the many projects that I worked in my life on this, on these issues. One was, remember, I had that grant from Sandy Wright, who also was involved in the Rockefeller initially, on the early part of the Rockefeller UFO initiative. She was a wonderful lady. She really helped a lot of people in all kinds of subjects, not just UFOs, but the paranormal, New Age, healing, and so on. She was a wealthy lady, and she passed away, unfortunately, a couple of years ago, and I had a grant, and I did a lot of work on historical issues, which unfortunately at that time we never did conclude that project, so now I was able to use a lot of it. And
tell the audience about the kind of material for this visual book that you were going to have.
Well, that the idea, and eventually there was a book done by a guy called Hurley. And then there's also a book published in Italy, but and the Hurley book was actually published in England and not widely circulated. The idea was not, I mean, there have been dozens and dozens of books of on historical UFOs. Jacques Vallée published a very interesting one recently. But what there has not been is like a coffee table book with all these extraordinary images.
Tell them about the painting, some of the religious paintings.
There are religious paintings all throughout history. Well, some of the items go... Actually, you have to go all the way to prehistory. And one of the most famous is the, which we reproduced it in this issue of Open Minds magazine, is the Tassili, giant, the great Martian god, as they call it.
Hello?
4,000 BC, 5,000 BC, somewhere around there, in the Sahara Desert in Algeria, is a huge, vast area of paintings on rocks there.
Right.
And this guy looks, you could...
Like a spaceman.
I mean, it's not 100%, but certainly you could make the interpretation that he looks like an astronaut.
Yeah.
And it goes on, you know, throughout culture, and in the Middle Ages, and especially in the Renaissance, with the richness of the great Italian painters of the Renaissance.
Right.
And there are many that depict what today we would call UFOs. Of course, back then they didn't have a name. And if they saw them at all, which they did apparently, they would put them in, they would give it a religious interpretation, and so they would appear usually as a sort of a secondary subject. So usually what happens on these paintings, and people can, you know, many of them are on the internet, usually the scene could be anything related to the life of Jesus, you know, could be the birth in the manger, or could be the crucifixion, or the there's an extraordinary one done by Gelder, by Aird de Gelder, a Flemish painter from around 1700. And you've seen this one, which shows Jesus being baptized at the Jordan River. And above him, there is this enormous disc. And the disc is like shooting like a very thin beam of light.
Yeah, it's
to
unmistakable.
Jesus.
There's not too much room for interpretation.
Small.
Yeah, there's not too much room for interpretation. It's plain.
Yeah, that one looks like a disc. And then below the disc, there's the white dove, you know, the Holy Spirit. But that, you know, what I say when you analyze these paintings, these artists were very good and very intelligent, most of them. And if they wanted to paint an angel or your Holy Spirit or any of the religious thing, they knew exactly how to do it. There was an iconography for that, you know. So, but then you see these other things. And then, of course, it's the most famous of all, which it was used as the frontis in our briefing document, as a matter of fact. This goes back to Rockefeller, even though that was the only item from historical period. Is the famous one of the Madonna, you know, with baby Jesus and baby St. John, which is, I actually saw it with my own eyes. I finally did see that painting. It's at the
Do you think that Jesus could have been an extraterrestrial?
Well, that, as a matter of fact, was the hypothesis of a Russian scientist called Zaitsev, which and we do have a very complete article in our magazine by our contributor from the Ukraine, Vladimir Rubsov, who's actually is a PhD and he's an expert on these things, and he participated in many commissions and things like that in the old Soviet Union. And he's an expert on Tunguska as well, the 1908, you know, explosion in Siberia.
Right.
And so there was an article published in the good old communist days, you know, like back in I would say around 1964, something like that, mid 60s, which it had by Zaitsev, which exactly had that subject, you know, that it proposed that Jesus was an extraterrestrial. Of course, it was the Soviet Union, which was a communist country.
All right.
And this is interesting because whereas the Soviets and the communist system was the censorship on UFOs was brutal, was much worse than in the West. But there was one exception, which they did kind of like and allowed a lot of articles in the press, and that was the ancient astronauts. Why? Because it was a way to demystify religion, to say, well, there is no, you know, you don't need God or angels or whatever. These were aliens that came here.
Okay, I got to take
since
a break.
Since it happened in the past, it doesn't matter. It's not like they endorsed it officially, but they allowed it.
I need to take a break. I'd like anyone out there who has any questions for Antonio Guineas, one of the editors of Open Minds magazine, or myself, to call 1-888-429-5741. There's a toll-free number I'm giving you, 888-429-5741. I'd like to move the conversation to the Mayans and their relationship to extraterrestrials. At a news conference that I organized last year in New York City, attended by four of the Mayan elders, they made a point of saying that they felt very close to extraterrestrials, and that they felt that these space gods, that their space gods would soon be returning to Earth in this difficult time period. You wrote an article in Open Minds magazine about the Mayans and 2012 and UFOs. Why don't you tell us something about that?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I wrote two articles. The one was in the previous issue, which was the cover story, and that was about 2012.
Right.
And the idea was to basically introduce the readers, you know, so I covered a lot of things. But it had a heavy component about UFOs because that's the subject of our magazine, of course. But I did try to give credit, you know, to Jose Arguelles, the guy who brought us the harmonic convergence, who was really sort of the beginning of the social movement that today we've come to call 2012.
Right.
And this connects actually, by the way, to something you had pointed out earlier, which was my meeting with Shirley MacLaine in Sitchin.
Yes.
Because that was the connection there was my old friend Marcello Galuppi, who was who was Shirley's astrologer. That's when she was giving her seminars, and she was packing, you remember, hundreds of people all over the big hotels.
Right.
And she wanted Marcello to address the subject of the harmonic convergence, which everybody was talking, you know.
Right.
It was sort of the equivalent of 2012.
Can you recall a conversation between Shirley and Sitchin?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'll never forget. But you want me to discuss this first or go back to the contents of the articles?
Let's go to Shirley right now.
Okay, the Shirley. Marcello was sort of a guest speaker at the Shirley thing. And now Marcello had interviewed Sitchin. Marcello had a radio program back then. He was a pioneer. This was long before Art Bell. And, of course, long before the Internet, which allows, you know, everybody, people like you, and we have a radio show program as well, you know, in Open Mind.
Right.
And many people doubt that technology allows it. And it's great because you can reach them.
What did Sitchin have to say to each other?
Yeah. Well, so the connection was done. Marcello had interviewed Sitchin, and I was present during that interview. That's when I met Sitchin for the first time. This would have been back in 1988.
Right.
So Shirley had read the Sitchin books, whichever had been published back then, which was probably three or four volumes, the first three or four volumes of the what later became known as the Earth Chronicles. And so she said, well, can you arrange a meeting with Sitchin? And Marcello said, sure, oh, I can try.
Okay,
so
what went on at that meeting? Is what I want to know, Antonio, I want to know what went on at that meeting.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to tell you. And so we ended up at her apartment. Bella Atzbach was there, too. Remember, a very close friend of Shirley.
Yeah.
Basically, it was a sort of an impromptu lecture by Sitchin. I mean, that's what Shirley wanted. She wanted to meet the man. She had read the books. And she wanted to hear from the horse's mouth, you know. And in a way, you know, as an informal interview, she kept asking him questions. Now, and this is interesting, because you just brought up the subject of Jesus and the ancient astronaut subject.
Mm-hmm.
This was sort of the climax of the conversation. And I put this when I wrote my obituary of Zachariah in the Open Minds magazine.
Yeah.
And in the website, and later in the magazine as well, because it's a great anecdote. So he had answered all her questions about the, you know, Nibiru and who were the gods and what they were doing here and this and that. And so then finally, at this point, she asked him, well, Zachariah, so how does Jesus fit into this scenario, right? Because a lot of the other biblical stuff from the Old Testament, he was saying that it fits. And he wouldn't answer. He definitely wouldn't answer. And you know, Shirley MacLaine, she's a superstar. She's not accustomed to people. When she asks a question, you know, she's not accustomed to people saying, no, I'm not going to answer you. So she kind of got a little mad. And
really?
She said, this will remain private here. You know, this is not for publication. And Sitchin's answers, as you know, he used to be quite a cagey man, Zachariah. He said, what is said in this room today will be repeated in another room tomorrow.
Sitchin was a tough old codger, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a character sometimes. And so he refused. He just would not, and she finally gave up.
You know,
and then we moved
besides
into other
Shirley, besides Shirley MacLaine, apparently Tina Turner was very much interested in Sitchin's work and read some or most of his books. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, but not directly. I don't know if you told me, maybe.
I mentioned
Sitchin
it. It's actually it's in my Alien Rock book.
Right, yeah, exactly. But I forgot where we got the information. I mean, but this is interesting, too, because this could be very significant, but he would never give me an answer, you know. I mean, this is the same like Shirley trying to get an answer from him about the Jesus. He had mentioned it to me that he had had correspondence with Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, who at the time was not Secretary of State, but I think he already had been head of the Army or something like that. He would never show me the letter. I really begged him. I said, I'm not going to publish it, I mean, unless you give me permission or whatever. He would not show me the letter. But it must be in some Sitchin file there somewhere.
Right.
Now, maybe it was just a polite letter that didn't have much substance, you know, maybe, and that's why he didn't want to release it. I don't know. But he did have at least one letter that I know with Colin Powell.
Antonio,
it means that somehow there was a copy of the book in Colin Powell.
Right.
Somehow he ended up with a copy.
Yeah. Antonio, I'd like to know what your personal take is on the end times. Do you think we're in them right now?
We are in a period of transformation, I would call it. The thing I like the most of the 2012, I am kind of a little skeptic about it, you know, as I explained in my article. I mean, because, you know, we've had many, mankind is full of announcements, you know, of the end of the world. You know, anybody that studies history, the one of the most famous was the panic in the year 1000. Where people really thought that they would...
Well, Harold Camping, the radio preacher, just this last year, had that prediction
exactly.
about
that
the
was
May 23rd
bad episode. And,
yeah.
And there were many others. And Campi himself, right, had already, this was like the third time. Well, he already had predicted it like several times. Also,
yeah.
The Adventist, I think, the Seventh-day Adventist or something, there was a famous expectation of the end of the world in the 1840s.
Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses, I know, several times made that... made those statements, and then, you know, Michael Jackson, by the way, who, as you know, I met, and I write about in my book, Michael was a member of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and he'd go door to door advocating their beliefs. When Michael died, in fact, shortly before he died, he was very concerned about the state of the environment, and felt that
regardless of
the rainforest,
well, and
worried,
and all that, of course the world is
about the
tremendous
that
shape
where,
right now, you know, environmentally
and
speaking,
the
you don't
that,
need to be relieved in any of these things, you
Antonio,
know, just read the news.
Antonio, one at a time, he was concerned that in 4 years that it would be irreversible, the damage that was done to the rainforest, and he said, basically, we have 4 years left. In his video, Michael saying that at a rehearsal, for his final performance. So Michael was, like, really into this stuff, as was Jimi Hendrix, as was Elvis Presley, as I pointed out last week.
Yeah. So there is a history.
Okay, let me get out the phone number
history
again.
History doesn't
Radio
have a very
Tuesday
good track
Live.
Record, but the environmental problems are real.
Thursday night at 12 midnight, Radio Doomsday Live. I'm Mike Gluckman, your host. The phone number, toll-free, is 1-888-429-5741. That's 1-888-429-5741. And we're coming to you through the facilities of BBS Radio Station number 2. They're based out in California. They're great people. They make it possible for this kind of information to get out where it might not otherwise get out. We've got about... 10 minutes. We've got about 10 minutes left of the show. Antonio, what else?
Mm-hmm.
Antonio?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. We've got about 10 minutes left. Antonio, what else can we? What other news information is there in the in the latest issue of Open Minds magazine, or for that matter, anything else that may be on your website that'd be worth checking out?
Right. Well, of course, we have all kinds of things, and in the issue itself, I would say there's, in fact, we do cover there also the famous Palenque astronaut. You know, the they call it the Palenque astronaut is the actually the tomb of King Pakal.
Which the Mayan,
a short article about that, like a profile. There's I wrote about the Vimanas also.
Right.
You know, the Vimanas of ancient India, which is they're some of the most extraordinary, detailed, mythological, if you will, but they seem to go into far more technical detail than other legends and accounts and mythology from other from other civilizations.
Mm-hmm.
I also had an interesting article about UFOs in the Middle Ages. And but at the same time, we have an article by some of our other editors. Jason McClellan wrote an article about UFOs in ancient Rome.
Right.
And then there are articles about structures, secret technologies of the ancients in Peru. And then, of course, we have that history of UFOs or paleo contact in the old Soviet Union. As a matter of fact, I bet probably you probably don't know this, that the very first article linking the Pakal, you know, the lid of the tomb in Palenque with aliens, that was not von Däniken. Däniken already picked it up. That was published in the old Soviet Union by Kazantsev, one of the famous ancient astronauts of paleo contact. So a lot of our readers there out there, or potential readers, they probably have heard of some of the information, but I'm sure that a lot of other stuff that they have.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. You're the editor of one of the foremost UFO magazines. The reporting is excellent, but what I'd like to know is this. Personally, what would you do if an extraterrestrial spacecraft landed openly, what would be your personal message to the extraterrestrials, let's say the Anunnaki, if they land?
My personal message. Well, I mean, I probably, I mean,
what would you say to them?
Have the first word, probably. But yeah, I would like to know who they are, and what's up, guys? Why are you here? Can I help you?
Well, yeah, I guess
something.
I mean, I guess it's
not get close to the UFO while the thing is glowing.
Uh-huh.
Because we have, in fact, in the briefing document that we discussed at the beginning of our show, there is, you know, the Michalak case. And there are other cases, too, where people did get burned with some kind of radiation. Not necessarily in a hostile, although there are some cases in Brazil and elsewhere where some UFOs appear to have been hostile.
Right.
Well, I think there are many UFOs, you know, and they're coming from different origins, too, and from different, they have different agendas. And this is part of the reason that the whole thing is so confusing.
Okay, I want to say
we're
something
not just
about
one.
I want to say something about Prince William, who was Red Alien Rock. Prince William was just made a new... He was just made an RAF captain, Royal Air Force captain,
right,
which means that he's a pilot. And for search and destroy missions, I believe that Prince William could be facing alien abduction.
Why?
And I say this, and I don't say this, I don't say this without reason. I say this based on the fact that there's been a very close interest on the part of Prince Philip, his father. I'm sorry, Prince Philip, his grandfather.
His grandfather. Yeah, I wrote about that in our website. As a matter of fact, that was after you had did that story or that interview in AOL or whatever.
Got
a lot of attention.
And I did some research. And pictures were taken, video was taken of UFOs right next to the Westminster Abbey. At the time of Prince William's wedding. So they did show up there at that particular time.
Yeah, although that wasn't very convincing, though, Mike, I have to admit. The prediction had been made by George Filer, our friend, you know, the major Filer, as you know.
But they were there. There's really an interesting video showing some, you know, fairly exotic-looking something, object, up in the sky right next to the where the wedding ceremony took place at that particular time. There's got to be a connection.
But be as it may, you know, it's true that the royal family was assassinated, especially the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, at one time. There was even an attempt to even meet Adamski, you know, the famous and infamous, according to some, you know, controversial, and certainly because he was so controversial, that did not happen.
You know,
the Queen of Holland.
The head of the Royal Air Force, was very close with Queen Elizabeth at one time. This goes all the way back to the 1950s. Claims that he met with a space visitor by the name of Janice, and that the space visitor, and he sat down for hours and hours and hours. It was a human-looking.
I have the book, as a matter of fact. I had to pay quite a bit of money because I had read the account in Timothy Goods, who's the one that kind of publicized it. But I was curious. I wanted to see the original book, and so I bought it, you know, through the...
Now
you can buy a lot of foreign books. Yeah, that's
Prince
a fact in any case.
He specifically references Prince Charles, Prince Philip, and said that he was interested in meeting with Prince Philip.
Yeah, correct.
But then the whole thing kind of fell apart.
Next time, when this guy passed the message, they went back to this apartment or this flat, as the British call it, there was nobody there.
There's a very direct connection. Again, I want to give out our toll-free number. You're listening to Radio Doomsday Live with Mike Luckman. I'm your host for tonight's show. We're on every Thursday night at 12 midnight on... BBS radio station number 2, that's 12 midnight Pacific, Eastern time, and 3 hours earlier Pacific time. The number is 1-888-429-5741. And we're going to be talking about, in coming weeks, all kinds of things having to do with survival and how we can survive what I believe truly are the end times, whether you're coming at this from a religious standpoint or a journalistic standpoint. The fact of the matter is that there's never been a time like this. And you find all kinds of very interesting comparisons with the Bible. And I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm as far as you can get away from a Bible thumper. But I'll tell you this. There is an Antichrist figure who's apparently walking around by the name of Maitreya, who showed up in India a number of years ago and supposedly may have performed some kind of a miracle, quote unquote. There are red heifers being born, which goes back to the days of the early days of the Israelites and
Maitreya, by the way, Mike. Can I add this? He's supposed to be, you know, sort of the last avatar in the Buddhist tradition. I mean,
yeah.
That doesn't mean that this guy is the real Maitreya, but he might be impersonating it. But that's where that comes from.
Yes. And there are white buffalo, which are revered, of course, by the Native American Indians that have been born in recent years. Now, is this just, you know, all of these things happening at this time, in this general time period, is this just all a coincidence? Can all of the major cultures of the world be wrong about this particular time period? Can we be honest with ourselves and just look at the headlines in the newspaper and watch this tonight's television reports and see what's going on? We've never had anything that even comes close to this.
Well, think of it, Mike, that this is the first time in history, really. Oh, maybe it happened, you know, whatever, in 50,000 years ago, and there was a catastrophe, and, you know, it's forgotten, or it's in the deep subconscious of mankind.
It's an age
but
of
it's
having
the first
operated.
Time where humanity is really connected, even though everybody's fighting. But, you know, we have the technology, and the world is everything is connected for the first time, I think. I mean, before, you know, maybe large parts were connected, but you still had remote areas where they, you know, they were totally isolated. Not anymore. I mean, so that must mean something.
And also, what we haven't talked about tonight is the economy. The economy is unfortunately in shambles and getting worse, it seems, on a daily basis. People have lost trust and faith in banks and major financial institutions.
Because it's outmoded. The whole economic model was designed in the capitalism is an old system now. You know, it started in the Renaissance, basically,
right.
In the late Middle Ages.
Right.
It really grew out of the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century and peaked in the 19th and 20th century. And you know, for its time, I guess it was inevitable. It worked, at least for some people. But it still to work, but it has to be adjusted seriously. And,
right.
But there's not the political will, and
right.
And everybody's divided, not just in this country, but abroad. You know, you got all kinds of fights going on in Syria and in other places.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's sort of the bad side of religion. You know, when people become fanatic and intolerant.
Okay.
So my God is better than yours, you know, and so on.
Right.
So we
need to
the meaning of 2012. We need to really grow up and get out of that mentality.
Yeah, we better do it in a hurry. My guest tonight.
Oh yeah, there ain't much more time.
One of the editors of Open Minds magazine. I suggest you don't walk, but run out the door, get a copy of the magazine, subscribe to the magazine. It's a damn good magazine, the finest on the market when it comes to the UFO subject. They're really on top of it. It's a very well-designed magazine, too. Thanks again, Antonio, and I'm sure we'll want to have you back on the show sometime soon with some updated reports on UFO activities and Planet X and the like. This is Mike Luckman signing off until next time, if there is a next time.
Yeah, thanks, Mike, by the way. A pleasure.